Steve Sherlock. Welcome to Franklin Matters Radio Show. This year is the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting that was held on Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. The committee members were participating in the council chambers. MAPC representatives participated via the Zoom connection. Some public participants and the town administration staff were in person. Other participants were able to attend and participate via the Zoom conference bridge. Links to the meeting agenda in my notes are in the show notes. The meeting recording misses approximately the first 12 minutes and runs about 45 minutes. So let's listen to the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting for February 2nd, 2022.
Recording in progress.
We will not explicitly be soliciting feedback or proposing to not explicitly solicit feedback during this forum, really using it as a time for education and to answer people's questions. And then separately following up with folks with a online survey to get people's feedback on their vision for Franklin Center. What we're hoping this will do is give people some processing time for the information that we're sharing with them, give us a little bit more space to really share the project and the key information that people may need to engage with the information that we're asking them to engage with, and leave space for people's questions before they give us feedback. And then the survey really offers a little bit more of a comprehensive opportunity for people to provide their feedback and their perspective. If we were to do this type of feedback during the event, it would probably be through polling, and that's not going to be as comprehensive of an overview of people's perspectives as responses via a survey, which is why we're proposing that we follow up with folks with feedback as a separate engagement opportunity. Next slide, please, Emma. So I mentioned a little bit about why we're proposing going with this approach. We think having a hybrid forum for education and question and answer purposes is a good way to make sure that the forum is accessible to everyone based on their priorities and comfort levels in terms of participating in a public event. However, to really do real-time feedback, we would need heavy facilitation and extensive staffing for both the in-person portion of the meeting and the remote portion of the meeting. And in terms of that capacity, it gets a little challenging given the pandemic to be prepared, especially if folks are unable to attend last minute on the day of. As I mentioned also, we're hoping to really gather quality feedback, and we think that might be a little stronger over time and in written format. Next slide. So these are some examples of the questions for the survey activity that would follow the public forum. I will note that these questions are not set in stone, as this is primarily to give you an idea of what we're thinking about asking people. So thinking about what qualities they see in a good downtown, what are the strengths of Franklin Center specifically, what feels meaningful to people when they engage in Franklin Center, and also thinking about businesses, housing, or buildings that people would like to see, as well as how folks might like to get around Franklin Center. So really trying to address this comprehensively and looking at the various needs people might have in order to engage in a vibrant downtown. Next slide. So I'm going to pause here and just check in with folks. Do you have any questions about how we're planning to do the forum and the follow-up survey, or any feedback that you would like to share with us?
Does anyone have any questions?
No questions, it all sounds great.
No, I think any questions? No, I think everybody thinks it sounds good. I like how you're gonna give people time to digest the information, because it seems like it could be a lot of information given out. But I think that's a great idea. I just have a question. Would you need the steering committee to help facilitate some of these groups that you said would be difficult?
So I think because we are not planning to do small group conversations, because we won't be soliciting feedback, the facilitation process should be a little bit more straightforward. We'll just need to plan to alternate calling on people who are in the physical room and then people who are joining via the Zoom room, and making sure that we're balancing who we're calling on. But otherwise, there shouldn't be any other facilitation needs for the event.
Okay, and does everyone have to register? Or can they get away with not like deciding that moment that they want to join?
So the registration will remain open. So if they want to join the day of on Zoom, they can just join the meeting in progress. They'll need to fill out the registration page to join the meeting, but it will take them directly to the Zoom room. And I assume, and I'm looking at Emma here, but if people want to show up on the day of at the auditorium, that is also okay.
Okay, thank you. Sure. Anybody have any added questions? Anybody in Zoom? Okay.
Awesome. Good work, team. So now I'll get into kind of how we are thinking about communicating this process and how we hope that you all can assist. So we have put together a draft of a communication strategy and outreach toolkit, which we intend to finalize based on our conversation tonight and send out by the end of the week that you basically can use as a guide for distributing information about this project. And part of that communication strategy is coming up with some key messages and topics that we can use to successfully communicate the importance of this effort and, you know, choosing messages that are most likely to resonate with people and want them to get involved and to learn more. So, you know, we've kind of come up with a preliminary list that we definitely want to build on as we hear more and more from different stakeholders. And so we have a couple of ideas that we've come up with to use in our outreach, preparing for the forum and announcing the forum, but we intend to continue developing these materials through the next phase. And, you know, depending on the kind of event that we want to promote or the material that we want to get out, we might tailor, you know, the communication a little differently. So some of the ideas that we have come up with so far are, you know, first off, the handout that we just came up with and sent along to you, really just getting people on the same page about the work that we're doing and why we're doing it and what it will entail, so we can be transparent and also, you know, have people come into our first engagement event with a baseline understanding of this work. We think we can tell people about how zoning is a tool for neighborhood enhancement and really try to break down what zoning looks like and kind of do it in a graphical way that illustrates what a setback is, what how height works, and so people can understand why changes to some of those either dimensions or uses can have an effect on what your neighborhood is going to look like. I think there's also a lot of information that we can get out there that came out of the housing production plan, which just illustrates why we need more housing in Franklin, both across a range of incomes, but also a range of housing types. We hear a lot about how people might be interested in smaller options, like an accessory dwelling unit, and then kind of on the other span, larger buildings that might be able to accommodate more people. And then lastly, another idea we've come up with is zoning as an economic development tool and how, you know, when you rezone, you create the potential for really new projects, and, you know, if you can increase that capacity, that could have, you know, a helpful effect on the town's bottom line, and also, you know, more people, like we've talked about, more people in the downtown means more support for local businesses. And so, you know, we really see this as a way that we can kind of accomplish a lot of our community goals. But again, messages are not static. So there are a whole host of formats that we can utilize to get this information out there. Some things are both print and, you know, can exist both digitally and print, like a handout or a promotional flyer. And then other things might be more suited towards just digital or just print. So some other formats for digital engagement that we can consider are infographics, social media postings, email newsletters through our signup list, blog posts, quiz or poll activities, or even a short video. You know, these things all kind of represent a whole range of time investment, but they kind of show the range of different ways we can get the word out there and tell people about this project. And, you know, some primarily print formats include like a trifold brochure, putting an op-ed or an article in the local newspaper, or hanging up posters, or putting up lawn signs throughout the area. So just to give you a little sense of our timeline for content release, we want to make sure that we're releasing a steady stream of materials throughout the next month. And like I talked about, that is a way that we can accomplish multiple goals at once. We could tell people about this process, encourage their participation in the forum, and also have an opportunity to teach people before they ever get to the forum. So we have created the double-sided handout, which we sent to you all. We also have come up with a less text-heavy social media image that is mostly promoting the forum that we'll include in the outreach toolkit. And we are thinking that the next content we're gonna put out is sort of breaking down zoning and what the components of zoning are and how we can use it to promote the community's goals. And as I mentioned before, we plan to continue releasing materials to keep folks engaged, promote our next engagement events, and also, you know, find ways to use these materials to also gather additional feedback, not necessarily in the forum. These are just images of, this is the first side of the handout that we sent out. This is the social media image that we came up with. And as you can see, we're obviously keeping with the branding, just so people, you know, when they see these colors or they see the logo, they know what they're talking about and could start getting more familiar with it. There are different roles that we all play in getting the word out. And I think together we all, you know, hopefully will touch a lot of different folks. So we are thinking that MAPC is kind of focused on posting and promoting things on our project website and also utilizing the listserv that we've come up with that we intend to have continue grow throughout the process. You know, anytime we have a focus group with folks or we have a registration list from a forum, that's a whole bunch of people that we can add to our email listserv. So, you know, they are notified about any future events or materials that we're releasing. The town staff are really playing a pivotal role in getting this out there, both by posting on the website, Town of Franklin social media, displaying materials, and also making print copies available at key locations in the downtown, like the municipal building and the library, maybe the senior center. If there's anything we would send out to a local paper, it would be the town staff championing that, and also distributing things to local businesses so they can hang in their window and people just walking around the downtown might be likely to see. The role that you folks can play a big hand in is kind of promoting it within your networks. You know, obviously through your board and committee roles, you you see a lot of folks across kind of the spectrum of stakeholders. And so we're hoping that you can help promote this on your personal social media accounts, you know, send emails to people in your network. And then also when we have hard copies of materials, bringing them to your regular meetings and making them available, and also just giving a plug to the work that we're doing, even if we're not, you know, coming to that meeting to make a presentation. Because if you have people attending, you already have a captive audience, right? So we, part of that community engagement strategy, or sorry, communication strategy, is the outreach toolkit piece. So we have come up with template language that you can use for email outreach and also social media outreach. We came up with different ones for Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and also example hashtags that you can use that talk about this event. And we intend for the outreach toolkit to be something that is not static, is updated throughout the course of this process, depending on what we're trying to promote. So right now, obviously, the focus is on the March 7 forum, but we will have additional events and kind of other things that we want to spread the word about. So we'll have more targeted messaging for those things that we can share. So these are just a few questions around your input on the communication strategy and ways that we can get the word out there. So one question we have is thinking about other key messages that we can use to promote the process, thinking about any other formats that would be effective that we haven't included. And I'm also curious of the ones that we did include, if there's any that really excite you and you think could be effective. And then just opening it up to you, if there are any other ways you think you could help promote this event that, you know, we haven't really thought about. Obviously, we are challenged with COVID and just trying to keep, you know, people safe. So we are kind of relying more heavily on the digital promotion, but anything else that you have to offer, we would love to hear. So if you want to just let me know if you have any answers to these questions and we can have a brief discussion. This is close to the end of my presentation, actually. So just talking about next steps next. So anything you have to say?
Does anyone have? All right, we have a question.
Great.
From?
It's basically to Jamie. Jamie, what's the budget for all this? Is it the grant money is going to be all just used right up? Or is it that we have a budget in place for it?
Through you, Madam Chair, the grant money will see the contract through the end of the fiscal year. The council appropriated $95,000 for originally for this study, but fortunately due to the efforts of Brian and staff, we don't have to. And we're looking at using those funds probably down the road for either implementation or if folks want to have extensive more public forums or other things they want to put at the end of this process, you know, certainly we can use the funds for that.
Yes, go ahead.
So probably, I don't know, 20 years ago or something, didn't we go through all this before?
2003, Mr. Hunchard, that's correct.
What did the town implement from that before?
Probably not much. What it did actually do was, in terms of zoning, it didn't change much. But what that did spearhead was the downtown revitalization project, which I know you're familiar with, in terms of getting the federal money and the state money and all the folks lined up to do the infrastructure redo that happened, 6 years ago now? 5 years ago? 6 years ago? 4 years?
7 years.
4,
I think.
I was here when we went back.
So it was more than four.
When they did the storefront.
When they did the storefront.
The HPP project and the PWIT project were about 6 years.
So while that study in 2003 didn't necessarily result in a ton of zoning changes, it did certainly a lot more to, I think, steer people back to downtown, focus on downtown, and lobby for the federal money to get the sidewalks and roads redone. Of course, it takes a decade, so it took a decade to do all that. So.
Right. It's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work.
Bureaucracy moves at a snail's pace.
Are you done? Are you done? Okay.
Just right. To Jamie, approximately how much money does the state have to get this implemented or keep parts and pieces of it as this moves forward? How much do they have to kick in, per se? Or is it just all in town?
I mean, we've gotten the funding through this portion. I think the bigger piece is going to be the now, you know, slightly controversial regulations that have come out from DHCD on their density requirements that they and land use requirements that they want to see near the commuter rail stations, and they're holding towns hostage to either do it, an ultimatum of do this or you will not be able to apply for any more MassWorks grants. Mm-hmm. I think that in terms of the state incentives or what else is there, Mr. Rondo, I think however those regs come down from the state over the next several months, maybe 6 months, is going to be a big piece of this, because we were promised essentially some sort of carrot and financial incentive to do these zoning implementations. And what we've seen now is not actually incentives. What we've seen is penalties. And as I asked one of the agency staff, are there any financial carrots to these new regulations? And there's nothing, which I find really quite poor, because as all of you know, building housing is not cheap, it's not easy, it doesn't happen overnight. And the state really, if they wanna build more housing, if that's what they're trying to incentivize, I believe they've taken the wrong approach. and they should be giving us some additional capital to try to funnel into these types of projects that might actually get some units built. I hope that answers your question, Greg.
Yeah, I got one more
after. Sure.
And just to plug around that, you know, the guidelines haven't been totally finalized, and so they are accepting public comment. So, you know, I would encourage anybody who is interested and wants to see that push, wants to see the needle changed, to get that in.
Yeah, I actually zoomed into the MMA meeting on the MBTA communities today. I was there for that discussion. So it's definitely a draft. They're still taking input
yes.
from the public, but it was more about just the zoning. That's what this is about. Change the zoning and the rest will come, I guess. But we have another comment from Greg.
Yeah.
So hold on.
Just how many other communities are in the position we're in? Is everybody else in the surrounding area going through the same situation as we are at this point? Or are they in front of us or behind us?
174
yeah.
communities. Well, in the MBTA communities, 174.
Yeah.
We're I think we're probably ahead. With the MAPC, since we have them.
Through you, Madam Chair. So that's correct. In terms of the timing of all, I mean, we talked about this at the council meeting back
yeah.
then. Actually, if you think about it, we wanted to get MAPC on board and get the project started so when the regs came out, they would hopefully parallel each other. So in terms of being ahead, I think we're clearly ahead in terms of what we're doing right now.
We are, yeah.
Some expertise on how to deal with the MBTA community issue. But in terms of how we're doing around the T station, we have a lot further to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that we're far behind a lot of other communities on the MBTAs. And that really comes down to private and public investment of wanting to make the investments into the properties that are gonna make that change. If you talk to the MBTA and when people say, oh, look at the new Westwood station or this one or Norfolk, or why did they get all this public financing? It's not just, the bill is not paid by the MBTA. There's also a private sector investment that has worked with the T around those stations to make those stations more vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That answer your question?
Yep.
Excellent. I would like to just go to your discussion questions here about your outreach toolkit that we have. I was thinking we have Franklin TV available to us.
Yes.
Maybe we can put some ads up.
Yeah.
Franklin Radio, we have Steve Sherlock out there. And we could have more of a discussion and more of an interview style to interview different people on the steering committee and you, and to get people excited about it. I think just to come down and talk about what they want to
yeah.
see.
I love that idea.
Okay. Does anybody? Councilor Frangillo is actually here in chambers now, and so he has a question. Yeah, or a comment.
Yeah, thank you for all this. Hoping to answer some of the questions. I really like the key messages that you picked out, especially in terms of selling a vision for what the impact that zoning can has. I think it's very, you know, the development that you grew up with and that you surrounded yourself with, like, becomes core to your view of the world. And I think that selling that vision for what Franklin Center can be is going to be a key part of this. And within that, you know, the things that I find very helpful are pictures and videos of other communities who, you know, especially in Massachusetts, but even outside of Massachusetts, who might be further along a possible vision, as well as, you know, the narrative of how our center came to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
We did have a vibrant downtown that through zoning and, you know, policy choices, you know, came to what we have today. And so historic images and videos are also helpful, I think, in creating that vision for, you know, for how zoning can really transform a downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of mediums that are really helpful, I mean, social media is, like, you know, we're reaching the most people, and especially, you know, sort of slide decks of, you know, quick, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter slide decks of 2-3 images that you can go through that tell a quick narrative. You know, especially, you know, Instagram, those spread, you know, people share them, And that,
I
that
now really have access up. To Steve Sherlock's photos, so I have like unlimited content.
Amazing. Well, yeah, and happy to help you.
That's a great point. You know, we're constantly looking for good high-res images to show Franklin, both in terms of things that are great and that we like and we want to keep, and then also things that might need a little sprucing up. So if any of you have any good photos, or you know folks who have good photos of Franklin, please send them our way.
Will do.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's go to Steve. Steve's on Zoom. Steve Sherlock. He's got his hand up for a while.
Yeah, I was just going to respond. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think you already mentioned the audio format, which was not on the list.
Yeah.
So certainly and it's also, protocol sensitive. We can do this via Zoom, just record the audio and prepare that. I know a number of folks are familiar with the format and the process that I use to create those and share it out, and I'm willing to help.
Thank you. That sounds wonderful.
Steve always helps. He's great. Thank you, Steve.
I know. I feel like I see the name just everywhere.
Anyone else have Brian, did you have anything you'd like to add, or Amy?
I think what we really like to do is, if the steering committee can spread the word about the forum, about providing public input as much as possible in as many ways as possible to MAPC about zoning, housing, economic development. That's what it's all about. So they need as much input as possible, and the forum will be a big deal, but in other ways, don't be afraid to send planning department or MAPC or anybody an email or whatever the case may be.
Thank you, Brian. I just have a quick question about the focus groups. So I know one of the original memo, we had four dates. I know we've pushed that out. Are they all pushed out? To different dates, or are you going to have them? Are you going to?
They're all like nothing should be changing at this point. We had our first focus group meeting on Monday with the property owners and business owners. We felt like it was really important to sort of hear from them first, because they hold so much of the key to what happens in this area. And so then our next meeting is this upcoming Monday. That will be with service providers and housing advocates. So we'll be talking with the housing authority, the food pantry, you know, a whole host of folks to kind of understand what the housing needs are, and, you know, who can most benefit from new housing and economic development opportunities. And then on next Wednesday, on the 9th, we will be talking with developers and also practitioners in the real estate field. So some engineers and lawyers who sort of are often coming before the boards and are really knowledgeable about the development review process. And then our final focus group meeting will be on that date hasn't changed, the meeting on the evening of the 15th with downtown residents.
Okay, who are we gonna, how have we decided who's gonna get invited to that? Like, are we using the, let me pull up the map. Are we using the map inside the circle here, Brian? I don't know if everybody, there's like this circle, like how did we decide which residents got invited?
Sure. I think the residents, we have not really identified anyone at this moment, except for the list of people that have actually asked to be involved in the process. So there is a list going on right now, but we need to expand that list. And it's similar to the other groups. If a business owner has said, hey, let me know when this starts or whatever, you know, they're on the top of the list when we go to put a focus group together.
Right.
So that's basically the way it's being developed.
Okay.
There's hundreds of possible people out there to do this with. If you can get 10 or 12 people or 15 at the most, I think, for a focus group, then you're doing well. So in short, we can't talk to every single business, but you can actually communicate. Every single business could communicate with us in a variety of ways. So more than just a focus group.
Okay, so if there are people that don't get invited, they can still give you their opinions.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure I think just to add on to that, you know, we obviously can't talk to everybody in the focus group. We sort of have to select a representative sample. That's what I kind of call it, because, you know, if you're only able to talk to a dozen, up to 15 people, you want to both get people who are going to have quality contributions and want to contribute. And then you also kind of want to represent the range of opinions. If you're just hearing from everybody who agrees on the same thing, it's not really much of, you're not really getting a whole lot out of that. So right. I think that's what we'd be looking for. And as Brian mentioned, we haven't finalized that list. So if you know folks who live in the area that you think would be able to contribute to this conversation in a meaningful way, let us know, because we'll probably be sending out that invitation in the next week or so.
Excellent. Oh, they could contact Brian if they were, yep, if they're listening and they want to, and they want to be involved.
And then for right, and then anybody else who we can't, you know, that is not the end all be all of our discussion. So we'll have right, our forum, we'll have the survey, and then any other, you know, opportunities that are to come.
Excellent. Thank you, Emma.
No
Does anybody
problem.
Have any more questions? No. Okay.
Yep.
In the audience. Come on up. We have a question.
Sure.
Yep. Can you give us your name and address, please?
Name and address, 115 Alpine Place. So I'm right there. And you were just mentioning this map. I'd like to know, what's the population within this area right now today? Does anybody know
that? I don't know. Does anyone know the? You're pointing to the rounded circle.
Yeah, the study area boundary.
Yeah. I don't know if it's done by distance from the downtown station.
Right, from the T station.
Yeah. Does anybody know the population?
Because if we, I would like to know what that is.
Yeah.
And
well,
like,
maybe we can
like
get
know,
that information.
Yeah, we certainly
yeah,
can.
If there is yeah, any projection of what the population will be after mm-hmm, this is done.
Certainly.
Please.
Yes, yep. And we'll kind of the next phase of work after we complete the visioning piece is the development analysis. So it's kind of figuring out what could be built and with an expectation around number of new units and also population.
Okay. And then this would also include all water, sewer.
Absolutely.
Police,
yep.
Fire.
Yep. Yes.
Additional.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Yep. So we're thinking about basically, what are the constraints? What are the opportunities, et cetera?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that question. That was great. Okay.
And so I could just quickly run through the
next steps.
And then
sorry,
if there are
ahead,
any
Emma.
Other questions,
yep,
we might still have a few minutes. So obviously we are preparing for our forum on the 7th, and we will finalize our meeting format based on this conversation and create a guide for in-person and remote facilitation. We'll also continue pumping out promotional materials, and you know, we are hoping that you can really champion that promotion effort and using the outreach toolkit as a guide. So like I mentioned, we are going to finalize that. I think you gave some great ideas that I hadn't even thought about, like Franklin TV and audio. So we will add those to the list and send that out to you so you can use it in your promotion efforts. And then we are going to continue working on preparing for focus group meetings and holding those meetings. And also internally, we're doing a lot of work to kind of start up that development analysis and doing that in a, so, you know, using the development analysis piece also as an opportunity to think about compliance with the MBTA requirement. Because even though that analysis or that those regulations aren't final, we kind of do want to see how we can get a back of the envelope calculation, you know, to see how we comply as it is now. And then once those, that language is finalized, we would do, you know, a more formal final analysis to see where we stand.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, so you'll probably be hearing from me quite a bit over the next month, you know, as we just send out materials. So again, we really appreciate your help in advance, and you know, we thank you for letting us use your expertise and your connections.
Yes, hold, can you hold on for a second there, Emma?
Yeah.
There was a focus group or something that was held earlier this week. Was it Monday?
There was a focus group held Monday.
How many people attended that?
I don't know.
We had about a dozen people who attended, and we had a great conversation. We had it was a mix of business owners, property owners. We had the president of Dean College, Paul Rooney, there. It was really a great conversation. So once we complete those focus group meetings and also, you know, have the results from all of our survey information, we'll put together a document that summarizes what we heard through the visioning process. That's something that we'll release to the public, and also, you know, we'll present on that at our steering committee meeting, so, you know, we can kind of go through the data and what we heard.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
We all set?
I got a small response for the resident that came forward in terms of units per acre within the within a half mile of the transit. We're currently at 3.5 units per acre. The average suburb in Greater Boston is at 6.5 units per acre. Mm-hmm. And research suggests that a residential concentration of around 10 units per acre is sufficient to support rail service. That's right. The closest I could pull up with it.
That doesn't mean what we're gonna end up with.
Everything's different. Yeah.
Okay, so I think we're done with this section of the agenda.
Great.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are going to move on to our second agenda item.
Great.
Because
talk to
we
later.
Have to end. We have. Thank you so much, Emma.
Hi.
And team. Thank you. If you guys are, you guys don't have to hang out if you don't want to. The EDC, the plus part of the EDC plus could leave us if they want to. I'll let them go. But our second agenda item is a prioritization discussion, approve the EDC goals for 2022-2023. And I'm going to kick it over to Jamie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As all of you on the EDC know, as well as for the folks at home, the Town Council at its last meeting formally adopted goals for the two-year legislative session. And I've attached to the packet the list of goals that were approved for the EDC. It was just kind of a early discussion. I know for both Councilor Jones, Councilor Hamlin, we've been through this before. It's kind of just a little bit of a discussion to have a prioritization. If there's anything that any of the members you know, want to bump up and look at. As you look at the list that's here, which I'll go through real quick, the Franklin for All EDC Plus work was on the list. Revise the downtown public parking lots bylaw, review the sidewalk snow removal bylaw, implement housing production plan recommendations. Just for the record, we have not heard back from the state yet on a formal approval, so hopefully that will come soon. New policy developments on New Style, facilitate a branding and marketing analysis, support the process toward a new master plan process, which will begin in next year in 2023. years are flying by. Home occupation business bylaw, research, review the marijuana overlay district, support a process to update the open space plan, which starts next year, review the cell phone tower overlay district and consider 5G local permitting and lot line cleanup. So it's an ambitious list. I think the stuff that's obviously been kind of pushed to the top are some of the items that that are kind of going to be worked on out of the gate. But just wanted to get the committee's feedback if there are other things that we should be working on. I think, as all of you know, the Franklin for All campaign and the zoning analysis will certainly occupy a fair amount of time over the next 6 months. And then whatever comes out of that, obviously, we'll have to come back, but I just wanted to get the committee's feedback and see if there's anything that jumps off the list that you wanted the staff to pay attention to in the first half of this year.
Well, would the revised, thank you, Jamie, would the revised the downtown parking bylaws come with through the Franklin for All program potentially?
It would mirror itself, Madam Chair, probably quite well. The issue is that, as you may know, just for folks at home, the issue is there's a fee associated with quarterly payments to reserve commuter rail spots in the downtown. We've been getting requests from commuters for 1 week, 1 day, 1 month, 2 weeks, different increments, but the bylaw only allows for quarterly passes because that's how they were set up well before the pandemic. Commuting has changed. And I think the chief has been researching with his staff some alternative models. And at some point, I know that once we have a proposal, we'll probably have to change the bylaw formally to deal with those issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And I think, you know, I want to fix the lot line cleanups. I want to get that done. I don't know how much is left of that, but it would be nice not to ever have that on a ABC list again. But the branding, marketing, and the home occupation business bylaw are pretty important to me. But I will, Councilor Jones has his hand up, and I'm going to let him give his opinion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of things on here, Jamie, and the crew, that in all honesty, I don't think would take much time. And that would be the process, would be to review the cell phone tower overlay districts, consider the 5G local permitting bylaw. I mean, in general, that shouldn't really take too long to do, right? Because they're already in the, from my understanding, Verizon has already gone and started the process of installing 5G throughout the community. It's just a matter of us allowing the permitting, correct?
To be mentioned, to some degree, that's correct. It is a little more complicated than that. But you know, we'll take a look at it. We've been working with some outside counsel on the cable issues, so we'll check back in with Bill Solomon and see what we can get for a timeline on that.
Okay, I just don't see why that would take too long to resolve. The other one would be the marijuana overlay districts. What, per our discussion last week with what the state is working on, have any effect on our overlay districts?
Through you, Madam Chair, what the state, for background really quickly, the state put out the legislative committee put out a cleanup bill of a bunch of provisions in the cannabis law that was passed by the voters 5 years ago. It will have no effect, from what I can see and what I've read online, it will have no effect on the overlay district that is still left up to the locality.
Okay.
I think what the cleanup has been is when all the parcels that have been in the pipeline get permitted, you know, is that enough? Is it too much? Is there other areas of town? The one issue that would be an exception to that is the social consumption issue, Councilor Jones, which from what I understand in the technical cleanup bill, as they call them up on the Hill, there's supposed to be some sort of guidance and regulations on whether or not cities and towns want to have actual consumption of cannabis on site at a store.
Oh.
So that would possibly affect your overlay district.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, the rest of the bill does not affect it.
Okay.
Be like a tasting room?
Yeah. Smoking room.
Along those same lines,
okay.
I think.
Okay. Anything else?
Not really. The lot line cleanup projects, I hate to ask it. Brian, if you don't mind, Madam Chair, to Brian, how much longer would you predict that the process is going to take for us to continue to do these lot lines? It's a stupid question, I know. The lot line cleanups?
How many more lot lines, Brian? 200?
How many have? 200?
What are we talking about?
There are a couple hundred more lots all over town. There's a few that are focused into neighborhoods, so over the next few months, we can get you a couple of bylaws and some more neighborhood stuff. But then you get, you know, two here, one here, all these kind of things.
Yeah.
And it, you know, so when we get to that point, which we could by the end of end of your work session for sure, but at the same time, maybe 6 months from now, we might be looking at that.
Okay.
They're all over the place. You know, what do we want to do with certain neighborhoods in addition to a lot line cleanup too? There's some other things that are out there. So.
Okay.
Thanks, Brian. We get kind of bored of the town council meetings, so we enjoy the lot line cleanup.
Okay. All right. Are you?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Brian.
Kobe, quickly.
Yeah, quickly. I think we have enough on here. I ordered them all, but I'll give you my top four. Franklin for All, which I think also it's going. I think that will touch housing production plan recommendations. At least a lot of them. My next would be branding and marketing strategies, and then I would say the home occupation business bylaw.
Sound good? Sound good, Patrick? Okay, is that good?
That's great.
Okay. I think there's enough to keep us busy
6:40
for a long time.
Too. It's also 6:40 as well.
And it's 6:40, and with
yes.
that, I would take accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor? Oh, wait.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.